We are back on Delta Talk. I'm your host, David Dallas, director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Mississippi Delta. We are talking with CEO Jason Studley of the Greenwood LaFleur Hospital. I have been saying Greenwood LaFleur County Hospital, but Greenwood LaFleur Hospital. And Jason is new in his position, and we were talking about some of the things he was impressed with. And you had mentioned the pulmonology department and group at the hospital.
Absolutely. With that, I mean, just being prepared for what COVID has come in. It's been a respiratory disease, and so it had the impact on the area has been great. Well, we're one of the few Delta hospitals that actually had those resources already here in place and established, and we've been able to actually meet the needs of our community. And so where there's actual transfers going on around in our region as the state divided between the southern, the central, and the northern, mm-hmm. we're part of the northern region as far as the COVID transfers are concerned, along with nine other hospitals. And we each take turns, you know, with being able to transfer hospitals and accepting those patients to make sure everyone in our region is cared for. Well, for our hospital, it's a positive and a negative, but because we have pulmonology services and because we have neurology and different services that a lot of the Delta hospitals don't have, we get quite a few of those transfers to us.
Right.
So it's a positive and a negative, but we're able to meet those needs. But we have so many more services that are available to us that I wasn't expecting mm-hmm. in a rural hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about COVID. Where are we at the hospital now? Is the ICU full, or can you still take patients? Are patients still being transferred to the hospital now?
Yes, we're still accepting transfers into the hospital. We're still able to provide care for the community that we have. I'll be honest, we've run pretty close a few times.
Have you? But you haven't gotten to the point where you felt like you had to turn anybody away or say, well, we can't help this person.
No, we'll never turn anyone away. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they need care, we'll provide the care for them, or mm-hmm. we'll find somebody who can provide the care for them.
Yeah.
But we continue to be really good stewards of the resources we have. We're able to maintain the levels of PPE. We haven't run out of medications. Mm-hmm. We've been able to go through and find out-of-the-box ways of making sure we have what we need in order to serve the community here.
Jason, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know this is on the mind of a lot of our audience members because it gets brought up a lot, reimbursement for COVID patients, how that compares to other patients. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because I just feel like sometimes there's some myths out there about, well, hospitals get a lot more for COVID, and I'm sure you do, but what does that really mean?
Yeah, actually, the reimbursements we're not getting specifically for COVID patients. What mm-hmm. we're getting is allocated sources that we could use to offset the cost of the COVID patient.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no real increased amount of reimbursement that we're getting. Mm-hmm. We're allocated a certain amount of money and says, okay, here's what you get now. And you won't get any more until after June of this year. Either you use up that money, mm-hmm. if it's COVID designated, then you can pull from this grant money.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So it's actually a grant. It's not like a reimbursement. It's
correct.
This is to help you with. Okay. That's even more interesting in terms of support for the hospital. Let's talk a little bit about reimbursements and reimbursement rates, because, you know, you're working in a rural hospital. I know, because I've worked a little bit in healthcare in the Delta, and it is fascinating to me how some people or some hospitals get a much better reimbursement rate and others do not, and it even varies between the services that you provide in a way that just seems it's interesting to follow, and I don't even see how hospitals can afford to keep themselves open sometimes.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of that is a matter of negotiating. Our commercial payers mm-hmm. have been in the past the main source of offsetting what our national contracts have. Because mm-hmm. A lot of times it doesn't even meet the cost. Mm-hmm. And everyone says, you know, the cost of healthcare is rising, Well, the cost to provide the healthcare has not risen significantly. It's the other sources. It's the pharmaceutical costs mm-hmm. have dramatically increased mm-hmm. from that standpoint. It's the outside services that we're providing. It's meeting the other aspects of it. And with the reimbursement models, they're actually changing to be more of a value-based reimbursement model. With that value-based care, it puts the rural hospitals such as ourselves at a disadvantage mm-hmm. because they heavily rely on technology. And this is technology we don't have yet, and we're trying to expand. And so it's a matter of, it's a large capital investment on the front end in order to meet the reimbursement needs that they're given to us now that for the future. And so it's a quirky little situation that you're getting into. I mean, as far as meeting the demands, but it's one of the few industries to where it really is about the quality. And from a reimbursement standpoint, where they're trying to get with the reasoning they're changing at the reimbursement standpoint, I agree with 100%. It's about quality and about safety of the patient. And so they want to rely more on that than the outcomes or the per visit. They're saying, okay, here's, you know, total care of this patient. Okay, now here's X number of dollars, fix everything, you know, that the patient needs. Well, a lot of times it's like we talked about earlier. Some of the times what happens is it's social determinants.
Yeah.
They're not getting their medication, and they're not getting their medication because they can't get a ride.
Right.
Right. And so it's a matter of, we as a hospital, we can't take on that full burden at this rate. So it has to become the community involvement in order for us to be able to succeed in the future.
Do you feel hopeful about where we're going?
I absolutely feel hopeful. I wouldn't have come here if I didn't see it.
That's right.
The base that this community has in Greenwood LaFleur Hospital was just amazing. I mean, it's here. It's solid. I looked it up and down. There's no cracks in it. It's just a matter of being able to grow into what we need to be in the future. And so with the base here, the medical staff engagement, the staff as a whole, I mean, they're the ones that keep telling me, hey, we really are treating our neighbors. So that's why we treat them the way we do, is because
we know them.
Right. And we're going to see them in the supermarket next week. Yeah. So we better make sure we do a good job.
Yeah.
So, and then the engagement of the board, the city investors, the county investors, I mean, everybody is so engaged in the success of this hospital. It's just a matter of being able to start working on our growth.
Well, it means a lot, not just in terms of jobs, but in terms of the care that it provides. I mean, absolutely. I know that my family, I've got two little boys. We've been there a couple of times. So let me ask you this other question. Medicaid expansion.
Yes.
What does that mean, and where do you stand on that? Because I know you hear some hospitals saying we've got to have it in order for Mississippi to be able to move forward and provide better health care, and then others are kind of seem to be lukewarm on it. What is Medicaid expansion, and what is that? What are your impressions?
A lot of Medicaid expansion is it goes all the way back to 2010, whenever
the
Affordable Care Act.
Right,
yes.
Right.
So it goes back to that. Some states opted in, some did not. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I've worked in states that did opt in. I've worked in states that have not. There's pros and cons to both. Mm-hmm. So my only suggestion is that we heavily rely on our legislators to go through, do their due diligence, and come through with the wisest decision for the people of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really speak up, speak the truth, and let them know. But as far as, you know,
the hospital association, like the Mississippi Hospital Association, I mean, they're doing that, and they seem to be in favor of Medicaid expansion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, from their standpoint.
Yeah, from their standpoint, but from your perspective, it's also political as well, and somebody's got to sit down and read all the
data. It's a way of accessing additional capital, but that additional capital comes with some, you know,
the state's going to have to pay for it somewhere down the line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One way or the other, and you know, where does all that money come from? Comes from additional taxes, or it comes from, you know, excise taxes, or some way that they've got to have the money to pay for it down the road.
Yeah. So I mean, it could work, but if you don't do about it the right way, it could also be a disaster for a state like ours.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you see as the greatest challenges coming up for you in this position and for Greenwood LaFleur Hospital?
I would say the greatest challenges that we have now and what we're going to see in the immediate future is going to be recruitment of providers. And a lot of times people instantly go to, okay, well, we need more physicians. Well, you need the support staff for those physicians as well. I can recruit a physician in, but if I don't have the nurses, the lab techs, the radiology techs, all the different providers of healthcare to build their team around that physician, I've got a physician that can't do their job.
Yeah.
And so it's not just about recruiting physicians. It's about recruiting every aspect of healthcare workers, because these are high-level experts in their field. So I can't just pull a nurse off of ICU and, you know, come over here and stick them on you know, another unit and say, okay, well, you're working endoscopy today. They're highly specialized in their field, and so it's a matter of having to recruit those different types of expertise into the area. Same thing with radiology, same thing with lab. Physicians are being recruited differently. In the past, we used to be able to come in and say, okay, you know, we're going to recruit to a rural area. Well, here's the financial incentives we can give is we'll help, you know, you pay off because we've got loans, you know, for your medical school. Mm-hmm. Will you qualify to have the state pay some of those back? Well, the for-profit hospitals in the metro areas have caught on to this, and they're now offering the same thing. So it's no longer about the financial incentives. It's about the community. What will attract providers to come to the community? And so we're looking at, you know, school systems, and you're looking at what other types of industries, you know, are there employment opportunities for the spouse? You know, what about the kids? Is there entertainment for them? Mm-hmm. So it becomes more of a getting to know you than a recruitment.
Right.
Not here's a job, here's your pay, sign on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of here's what our community has. Can you come in and step into this community and see yourself living here?
Have you had a lot of maybe new staff or nurses that have come in as part of the COVID needs that you've had that maybe were from outside of this network that you're hoping will stay on?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're absolutely hoping that they will be able to stay on. But a lot of the feedback I get from outsiders, and still being an outsider myself, I'm still learning. But it's a matter of the feedback I've gotten is we never would have expected this to be such a gem.
Yeah.
And you never really fully understand the community until you're in it. Mm-hmm. And then it's the friendliness of people. And so I really think that we'll probably be able to retain quite a few of the nurses that we've brought in.
Yeah.
Once this, you know, the COVID has settled down a little bit, it's not going away. COVID has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not going away, but we're getting better at managing it. And this this particular, you know, strain that has hit us in 19 has been difficult and widespread.
Right.
But it's been around for a very long time.
Right. Our guest this morning has been Jason Studley, who is the CEO of Greenwood LaFleur Hospital. You know, and it's so funny. I just asked you to give me a challenge, and you just turned it right around into an opportunity. That's great, Jason. That's very inspiring on the part of any CEO to be able to do that. But Jason, let me just again, as we finish up here on Delta Talk this morning, one of the things I love to ask people is what do you love most about the Delta? And you've said a lot of things, and you are brand new here. But you and your wife, as you sit and talk about, you know, when you come home or you're at the dinner table, what do you talk about? Your impressions of this area, this community, and what you like most about it. You got about a minute.
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you, my wife and kids just moved here on Friday.
Oh,
so they're brand new to the Delta. I've been here for a couple of months. We've been separated. Mm-hmm. We came here sitting around the boxes in our dining room because the table's not set up yet. What we talked about last night was, you know, the kids are, Dad, do you think we're going to like it here? And then the next one was, do you think that they're going to accept us here?
Yeah.
And one of the things I told them is, like, you know, it took me all of a day before they accepted me into the hospital. It took me about a week before I became, you know, part of the Delta.
Right.
So from that perspective, I just think it's the openness and the community reaching out and not expecting me to go out and be seen. The community reaches out and invites me, you know, come here, come there. And it's everywhere you go, they're just friendly.
Yeah. Well, we are very grateful to have you and your family here, Jason. Jason Studley, CEO at the Greenwood LaFleur Hospital. Thank you so much for being with us on Delta Talk, Jason.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to Delta Talk, a public affairs presentation of TeleSouth Communications and this station.